AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in DC.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Maggie.
How are you doing?
Another day, another podcast.
Yay.
I know. I always look forward to Tuesday mornings. I enjoy getting time to just chat and explore different topics.
Yes, it's always fun. And I think it's pretty poignant, aligned, integrated that today we're going to talk about chaos in the playroom. And I think both of us are feeling life is pretty chaotic right now. So yeah, it fits.
Yeah. I was talking to someone yesterday and they're, you know, normally there's certain parts of the year that are busy, but 2025 has just not stopped being busy.
I don't know
if some of our listeners are experiencing that as well, but yeah. It does feel life in 2025 is chaotic and busy, and it's showing up in our playrooms.
Yes, it is.
And so I thought it would be a fun topic for us to kind of explore how we handle that, how we understand chaos in the playroom, and how do we manage that?
Yeah, I think it's something that is really hard to prepare someone for within the academic setting or training setting, because you can think about how you'll respond to chaos conceptually. Mm-hmm. But then when you're in the space, feeling the energy and engaging and being so present, it feels very different than just when you're imagining what it would be.
Yeah, I remember the first time it showed up, how confusing and overwhelming the play session felt to me as the clinician, let alone the kiddo, but in particular to me as the clinician about what is going on. That's what I kept. Something is really wrong, which was not the case. It was something totally different, but it kind of was shocking.
When it's not, again, I think this is what's so hard is it would be really nice if it was predictable and we could be, oh, this is what this means, or these are the children that will demonstrate chaos, because there isn't a set, it's not predictable. We can't say, it's not prescriptive. We can't say definitely these kids, because I do see a lot more chaos sometimes with kids who've experienced trauma, but also I have kids who've experienced trauma who are very calm in session, right? So it doesn't,
super orderly, right? Sometimes I find them on the opposite ends of the polarity spectrum, right? They can be everywhere in between. I think that's really an important idea, is that it's not prescriptive of how we look at kids in the playroom and how we anticipate them showing up. And Gary Landreth has a quote in his book, which says, meet kids with expectancy, not expectations. Mm-hmm. And I really love that quote, because it really, for me, solidified that idea of, I don't know what's coming in today, and I need to be open for everything, not going in thinking because this kid has played the last few weeks this way, that they're also going to play that way today in session, that it really is a new dawn, a new day. And I have to go in with the idea that I'm ready to travel with this kid, no matter which direction they take me. If we visit someplace we have visited before, or we go on a whole new adventure together, that really is kind of our role as child-centered play therapists, is that idea of I'm waiting with eagerness, with curiosity to meet this kid at the session today.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think that it would be so nice if we could say, okay, so these are the kids where you'll see it, and this is what it will look like, and it'll only last for 5 sessions, and then it will move into this. And that's just not the case. I've had some kids where the chaos did not, it was very the same type of chaos each session for years. And it does it. So there's no way for us to tell you exactly what it is. But I am interested what that was for you the first time and how you, I guess, handled that or what that experience was for you, how you grounded yourself in those moments.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important statement that you made there at the end, because it can really kind of throw us off in the play therapy space. That's what I remember being very unsettled myself, kind of in the whirlwind of the chaos that was happening. And it happened to be something that is a personal challenge for me. So in my very first session where a kid was really chaotic, they literally emptied every one of my shelves onto the floor, just arm swiped everything down. And for me, that brought my anxiety up. So that idea of how do I, that's what I remember. I felt it in my chest. And
that's
I was
it.
Like, sometimes I was like holding my breath.
It feels like a catch.
You're like, because it just caught me off guard.
What happens in your head? Just really, I know I'm interrupting your chain of thought, but when they start taking the things and just doing this and you go, oof. So I'm, if
so
for those
funny.
Not watching on YouTube, they kind of take their arm and just take the shelves, especially with the miniatures, and it startles us. So I'm curious.
Yeah. So first, I don't have miniatures in my playroom. I do have animals,
right? Yeah.
Animal figurines. And I have army men. I have the traditional list that
right.
Gary Landreth has in his Art of the Relationship book. And then I do have some supplemental materials. I was really influenced by Dr. Turner and really trying to update our playroom with more diverse materials, as well as Robert Grant. I always get Dr. Grant. His materials for neurodiversity and kids on the spectrum of some additional materials. But I have traditional playthings. If a kid just swipes one shelf, I really don't have any reaction to that. It's when we're getting to all the shelves, two things go through my mind. A is, do I have someone right after him or her or them, right? Because I'm like, this is going to take forever to clean up. And two, I often am worried that, because once everything's on the floor, is the kid going to be safe? Because it's really hard to maneuver around the play space. So those tend to be the first two things that go through my mind. And sometimes the third thing, it just depends, is I just spent 2 hours this weekend cleaning the playroom. So you can hear my stuff coming in.
Yeah.
Too. And I really have to recenter myself that this kid could care less if I cleaned the playroom yesterday or an hour before they got here or 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, really got everything wiped down, reorganized. And then I'm, ugh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's such a great point too, is because when you're talking about the traditional kind of play spaces, because, and I didn't even realize it because it was so normal. I've never been able to really create my own playroom, and I've gone into a lot of spaces. And so they had miniatures in each room. And that was so hard because they're so small. They're so difficult to pick up and to put back. And there's so many of them that when the kids, it created more anxiety for me, which then took me away from what the kids needed. And you reminding me of that, it just reminds me of, yes, this is why it's, there's a reason why we do things the way we do. But yeah, so I interrupted your whole train of thought. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I lost my train of thought.
I mean, we're living in chaos too. So.
No. Yeah. But, it is really important for myself to get grounded and really be present with the kid in the room and not be swept up with my own issues, right? This, all my junk in my suitcase, right? I have to be able to process that outside of time with the kiddo. So really kind of getting rooted, getting grounded in my chair, staying present. That may mean going to a lot of tracking to try to figure out what is going on for the kid. Maybe some reflections if I can figure that out. Because sometimes when it's really chaotic, it's much harder to pick up on the nuanced experience, the internal nuanced experience of the child, because they're kind of entering the world with, right, overwhelm, overstimulation, confusion, right? Because that's really how I experience when chaos wiping everything off the space. And then the other time I've had chaos is really with a well-established kid, so that it just kind of comes out of the blue. And I may have heard some things from the parent about what's going on, but right, their play feels chaotic. There's no central focus to the play. Me in my head, that kind of feels like a rabbit trail. I'm bouncing in and out of 900 different things. I think I start to understand it, so I reflect, and then the kid swaps to something different. And then it's just a ping-ponging back and forth between a whole bunch of different activities. And if I can take, a 360 view from outside, I can see how maybe all these things are interrelated. But in the moment, sometimes that's a lot harder to figure out in session.
Well, and that made me think of two different things that I hope what we can talk about. One is that chaos doesn't always look the same. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're throwing every toy in or that you're running around or speaking very quickly. It could mean that there doesn't, you were saying, there's not necessarily a central focus. It's, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, so that it's hard to kind of conceptualize in those moments because you're trying to figure out how these things are connected or what it, understanding where the child's coming from in these perspectives. And I think it also is important that we recognize what's going on with us real quickly to say, okay, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Let me take a breath and then let me refocus on the child and how can I be more present for this child? Is it going to be help me feel more grounding if I'm tracking what they're doing? Am I able to recognize their emotions without inputting my own emotions onto them? And then also the self-reflection that comes after of, okay, that felt really disjointed, or that felt really overwhelming, or whatever that was. And then taking into consideration, okay, so what could this mean for the child? Where is their experiences? And I think it's super relevant, that last point that you brought up about how it can bounce, bounce, bounce. We are at the end of the school year. And I think a lot of times, parents and teachers, and even myself as play therapist, think that kids are super pumped because it's summertime. But this can feel overwhelming and chaotic for a child because they've just created that attachment over 9 months with their teacher and with their classmates. And now it's over. There's much less structure. They don't have a constant, even if they're going to summer camp, it's for a week at a time or 2 weeks at a time. And so that can feel really overwhelming to it for a child. And so also thinking about as the play therapist, where are we right now? What's happening in their lives right now?
The other thing I was going to say, Maggie, is also they become unpredictable to play sessions too, sometimes during the end of the school year, as there's, picnics and all these celebratory events, and, maybe camps go Monday through Friday, and you see a kid at some time during that Monday through Friday. So now they're not. So it's also not only is their school life unpredictable, their home life becomes unpredictable. And sometimes the relationships that they, also rely on, those secondary relationships with a therapist, can also become a little unpredictable, which makes it hard. There's also vacations in there. We take vacations, they take vacations. So the schedule gets really off, from my personal experience as a play therapist in practice, off in the summers. Like
Even
I've seen every week
right.
consistently through the school year, and in the summer, the family is, able to take a really long vacation. So they tend to go away for 6 weeks. So there's a 6 week break from their normal routine, which is wonderful. I'm so excited for the family that they get, quality 6 week time. For some of my clients, that's also a really challenging 6 weeks, and they talk about it in session. I'm not going to see you every week, and I'll be here when you get back. I know, but for those 6, I'm trying to be reassuring. You've got so and so, you've got so and so, you've got your resources, right? And then also working with the parents about, making sure. I really try to have parents that I work with take child parent relationship training. So then when we have these big breaks or there's gaps or, financial reasons or whatever, that the parents also can lean in as the therapeutic agent for their kids at those times. So being reminded, even if you can't bring a play kit, right? There's other ways to have those you and me time, those designated 30 minutes where the relationship is the focus, to help settle the child.
Yeah, I think it's really important to, as the play therapist, like have those conversations. And even you know, it's hard to remember those things as a caregiver that those are happening. And I know I've shared my own experiences a lot, but it's even today, the unpredictability of it all, right? And it's okay. So yesterday you got to play with your friends, and then we're supposed to go over here, and then we're going to do this. And so this morning I sat down and this is what our day is going to look. This is what I hope can happen. And then, you know, this is what play therapy. And they're like, oh, it's summer. I don't want to go to play therapy. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, summer doesn't immediately
Yeah,
change
because
that.
the competition is at the pool with your friends or,
Right.
you know, playing at
Watching
your
movies,
house
going
and coming
outside,
out. Like
going to
this.
camp. And so really trying to remain solid in that. And it's definitely, and I think too, remembering that it just is chaotic for the family. And so it might be chaotic for the child and how that shows up. And so checking in can be helpful.
Yeah. And I'm going to kind of go back to the question you asked me, Maggie. What goes on in your head when chaos ensues in the playroom? Where do you go? What happens for you in those moments?
Oh, asking me?
Huh?
Oh, usually it's at first, oh geez. And I find myself kind of retreating or almost protecting and stumbling over my words. And so I have to really try and ground myself. And then after it happens the first time, then I'm able to even be even more grounded and more aware. And as that continues, I think I'm able to respond and I consult a lot. Am I missing something in this? Because sometimes it's easier to see the behaviors in those moments than it, and then trying to understand the underlying meaning and or per, what's going on for the child underneath that. Where, what emotional aspects might they be trying to demonstrate? What are they trying to communicate with me? And really trying to ground myself in these aren't just behaviors, because I think a lot of times when you talk to other adults, it's they're, you know, externalizing behaviors and distractibility and, you know, high activity are often viewed very negatively and almost something that can be controlled.
Yeah.
And reminding myself as a play therapist, my goal, this is the child trying to communicate to me. So what are they trying to communicate, and really trying to connect with the child in those moments and show them that I'm there and that I'm present. And that means I have to remind myself to be present. So, and it could just be quick little microsecond conversations, because I am a thinker in words. So I talk to myself in my head. And so it's just reminding myself, okay, you're feeling overwhelmed. Take a breath, focus on the child. So yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, would it be helpful to talk about some of the
Yeah. Do you
experiences?
want to share an example of a time where
Yeah.
the child appeared to be chaotic, or what that even looked for a session for you? Because I think it, we kind of alluded to this earlier. There's also chaos that doesn't mean the environment is destroyed, right? Or their relationship is hindered. There's also that where it's really hard to identify any real play happening, that it really hops from item to
Like a
item to
ping pong ball.
item to item. Yeah, the internal chaos of a client. And it's not exploratory in nature. It's harder to identify the intent to it, because the kiddo really is everywhere and really struggling to settle into any one
It's almost
like
FOMO
real
sometimes.
play.
Yeah, I don't think this is what it means, but it's a, oh, I see this. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, it's like,
But that's not how I experience it
oh,
in session.
I
That's
don't think
not.
it's because of FOMO. It's just, it's like there's just so
Yeah, but
much.
it's not, it's almost nothing is satisfying to the kid, right?
Oh.
The chaos is that, right, is really internal, that they can't find any engagement, joy in what they're doing. So it really is a touch and go, touch and go, touch and go, touch and go. Oh, I'll do this for, but almost going through the motion, but nothing, you know, and then bouncing. That can also be very confusing as a play therapist, because you're kind of, what is happening? And those are harder for me to reflect in the moment. It's more of, oh, you decided to do something different. You know, I'm doing
Right.
tracking because I'm trying to figure out what's happening.
Is it because they're not satisfied? Is it because they're afraid they're missing out on something else? Is
Yeah,
it?
or is it they just are so unsettled, so dysregulated internally that it shows up in the play space? It is that is a very different kind of session.
Or even searching to communicate, right? How I don't know how, however I'm trying to do this isn't working. It can feel deeply unsettling. Not for us necessarily, but sometimes I think for the kids, how hard that is to feel you can't share it, what it is that you need.
Yeah, and I do think for even the kid, that's an unsettling experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, it's almost heart-wrenching as the therapist, because right, that attunement part, you can really feel it as the therapist, the true unsettle as the therapist. You can experience it. And for all of these experiences, one thing that I do want to say, and this is going to really lean in theoretically, right? This is why it's really important for us to have congruence and to work on our own congruence. Because I need to be able to decipher, am I reacting to my chaotic internal state, or am I responding to the kid's chaotic internal state? And really kind of leaning into, if I know myself well enough, right? Where is this coming from? Maggie said at the beginning of our podcast, right, that it's been a little chaotic for both of us in our personal and work lives, outside of this podcast, right? And so if I know that about myself, I might be more reactionary to chaos when a kid comes in with some chaos. And then on the other hand, right, if my world seems pretty settled, maybe I'm attuning better to what's happening, to be mindful of that. And then the last thing I just want to say, I know we're running out of time. It's also important that we acknowledge that sometimes kids presenting diagnoses and stuff may also lead us to look at chaos. So, and we need to be careful not to pathologicalize,
right?
I don't even know about the word, but what's happening. So I work with some kiddos on who have ADHD, and sometimes they can appear chaotic when it's really, you know, inattentiveness and other stuff. So don't always jump to what that, you know, like that
right
theme or that play behavior. Really make sure we have a good understanding of what their base is and reflect, is this me feeling chaotic based off of their inattentive or hyperactivity in the playroom? And I don't want to, you know, be overreactive and
overpathologize.
Or disallow, right, their way of being, right? I do need to get to a level of acceptance. And it doesn't mean this kid has to change. I need to accept them as they come into the playroom. And so also to be really mindful of that from a child-centered perspective of not just jumping to, this is so wrong. This could just be me, and this kid needs to be accepted as struggling.
And I think even as we were talking about, like, feeling dissettled, and I know you need to go, but like, where they're just kind of moving around, but it feels there's something deeper there. And it almost, I think what we were both getting to is a sense of pain, right? There it's, or incongruent, something's going on, and how we have to be different adults in those spaces, because pretty much like, everywhere you go, when kids are like that, they're going to be reprimanded. Yeah. And especially within school systems, and I'm not dogging school systems. I think it's just, how, and I think that helps me ground as a play therapist too, is how am I going to show up differently? Because I'm trying to understand, I'm trying to, I want to accept, I will accept, and I will work towards understanding. So, yeah. Makes me just love on the kiddos that we see. All right. You have meetings, you have a big conference coming.
I do. Not when this goes live, but, yeah, we're hosting a big conference here in Charlotte next week. If you have any topics, things that you want us to talk about, we are about to jump on a series on child-centered therapy skills and ways of being, which we're really excited about. We're going to break them down step by step and really kind of talk about the purpose of them all, what our hope is in working with kids, as well as what does this look in a real session. being able to respond to kids, how we might utilize each of the different skills and how we are with kids. And so, and hopefully we'll have some additional resources that we're working on to help supplement
Yeah.
you as either a supervisor, as a clinician, as a parent to have better understanding. We're trying to really do a wide swath there
Yeah.
for you. So please tune in because we are going to start to revamp our website and some other stuff.